chapter number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 1, as we're going through our Old Testament book of the Bible for this time of the year, or this period of time in our ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. We've been going through the story of Habakkuk, and I pray that you've been enjoying it. This is lesson number 3 or message number 3 out of it. It's really a fascinating book. As we mentioned at the beginning, this is a conversation between God and Habakkuk. And, you know, in these minor prophets, we call them minor prophets because of how short the book is, but they have a major, major meaning in there. And I think there's some things we can learn. The first week we looked at the first verse number 1, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. And we talked about having a burden, and we talked about a little bit of the history here. Right now, Judah is on the eve of destruction, the eve of captivity. And even Jeremiah has prophesied it. Habakkuk is there, he is looking up to God, and he's seeing all the wickedness that is around him, and his heart is burdened. And I'm telling you that as we go through this series, we're going to be able to see a lot of similarities to what we are dealing with today here in America, because there is a lot of wickedness that's around us. Here in Habakkuk, he is living in Judah, God's chosen people, and he has a burden for him. His heart is broken. There is sin all around him. And in verses 2, 3, and 4, we looked at last week. We're going to highlight him again here just really quickly. We see Habakkuk makes an accusation in a sense, or ask God a question. He says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" He has a burden. And when we have a burden, we cry out to God. That's what we're supposed to do with our burdens. Take them to the Lord. But Habakkuk doesn't think that God is listening. Habakkuk doesn't think that God is answering. And he begins, and he continues on, "And thou will not hear." I know we've been there before. I know I've been there where we feel like we're praying to God, and we are trying to get God to do something. He just won't hear. But we got to remember, prayer is not about us changing heaven's mind. Prayer is about heaven changing our mind sometimes. So that's why he's talking to Habakkuk here, and he says, "Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not save." He says, "I'm crying out to you, and it's one of the greatest things that's around me is violence. And you know what? You're just not doing anything. Why are you just sitting there not doing anything? Don't you see what's happening?" And he continues on in verse number 3, "Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me." We looked at that for a few minutes last week, how that is a description of the nation we live in. And it continues on and says, "And there are that raise up strife and contention." Verse number 4, "Therefore the law is slacked." And we just use this as this point to how this can apply to us. "And judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous." And we use that illustration how it seemed like there's just a few righteous in Judah's day. And we look at the Nahum and the Zephaniahs that we think are contemporaries with Jeremiah and Habakkuk, and how it seems like there is just a few that are righteous walking amongst the masses that are wicked. And once again, that's the same day and time we live in at today, is that there is people doing wickedness all around us, and those that are righteous are just so few. And it continues on, "which ye will not..." And it says, "therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." And that happens all the time around here. You know, wrong judgments go out. Why is that? Because judgments are slack. The wicked compass about the righteous, and the law is slack. And okay, so we're getting to verses 5 through 11. And God answers him. Have you ever asked a question and wished that you had never asked it? I don't know, you come out and say, "Well, don't you like me?" And they're like, "No, I don't like you at all." I don't know, when you were a kid, maybe in junior high or elementary schools, and you write those notes, "I love you, do you love me? Mark yes, mark no, mark maybe." You send that note to whoever it is, and they mark back no. You wish that you would never ever have asked, because it kind of burst your bubble there. And that's what Habakkuk here, he's going to get God's answer. You know what? He's going to wish he never asked. He's going to come back and say, "Really, God?" And that's what next week's message is about. It is, you know, "God, this is what I know about you. And God, this doesn't add up." And it's the God that we know. That's who Habakkuk's got it confused here. He's got a burden. He's hurting for the Lord. He's hurting for his country. And he goes to God and says, "God, why have you not done something? Why aren't you doing something?" God gives him the answer. God pretty much tells him, "I am doing something. You're just going to not like what I'm getting ready to tell you." And God is going to take taken Habakkuk that was in a bad situation and had just made it worse in his mind. The nation of Judah was on a spiritual bankrupt. They had turned from God. Habakkuk was troubled by his own people and their sin. Then the Lord said to him, I'm going to bring a heathen nation, the nation of Babylon, the first really, I believe, whole world empire, and they're going to destroy Judah. I mean, they're going to, let's see what the Bible says. And this is God responding. Behold ye among the heathen. So God is speaking to Habakkuk. I think here in this phrase, he is talking to Habakkuk, and he's saying, look, I know you're among the heathen. Now, the sad thing is, where's Habakkuk living? He's in the nation of Judah. What is the nation of Judah supposed to be? God's chosen people. But even in the midst of God's chosen people, he's saying, look, you're the ones living amongst the heathen. And see, there's something that happened to Judah. They had gone to wickedness, and they had become spiritually bankrupt. And let's keep on going. And regard and wonder marvelously. I think he's describing Habakkuk here, and he's saying, look, you're among the heathen, you do regard, you're wondering marvelously, why aren't you doing something? For I will work a work in your days. And that phrase is important. We're going to come back to that in a little while. God says, look, I am working a work. And that's the title of tonight's message. Remember, God is always at work. God is always at work. And he's telling Habakkuk, I am going to work a work in your days. And this next phrase, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. He says, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. He says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. I love this. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was the one that was so filled with pride, and he was an egomaniac. The way he says, I built this kingdom. I've done all these things, and God puts him down on the grass, and eating grass gives him the heart of the animal. You know, I love this. You know, who rose up the Chaldeans? Who was the one that brings empires and brings them down? Who is the one that brought America about? Who's the one that's going to bring America back down if we don't do what we're supposed to do? It says here that he says, I raise up the Chaldeans. And then he begins to describe this nation. Listen to the cruelty of these people. That bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They're going to come and they're going to take over things that are not theirs. This is God describing. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves. And the horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come for all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather to captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Those places that they counted to be the place of safety, he says, they're gone. Verse number 11 is the saddest part of it all. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. And this is where, remember when Daniel and Daniel chapter number 4 goes to Nebuchadnezzar and tells him, that vision you saw, change your mind, turn from your wicked sins, and everything will remain the same. And Nebuchadnezzar took a year to think about it, and after that year he says, nope, I built this. I was the one that did this. And that's when God struck him down because of his pride. Three things I want you to see in tonight's message. And once again, I think there's a correlation. There's something that we can bring through here and help us to understand is that in the day and time that we live in, there's a problem. The first thing I want you to see here, the first point is the carelessness of God's people. The carelessness of God's people. You go back to verse number 5. And it says, behold ye among the heathen. And we go back to this reason. God is bringing to memory here what he is talking to Habakkuk about. He says, I'm going to do a work amongst you. He says, you're not going to even believe it, even though someone's going to tell you. He says, you're not going to believe it. He's saying to him, look ye among the heathen. He is reminding them of something. What is he reminding them? You're surrounded by the heathen. You are surrounded by those that do not believe in me. You're surrounded by wickedness and evilness. And this is the carelessness of God's people. This is during Habakkuk's day. He says, this is why all this is happening. says, yes, you were right when you said that the wicked come past the righteous. You're right. And this is the reason why they need to be judged. This is the reason why the judgment that is coming is something you do not want to hear. This is not the answer you were expecting. You wanted us to go and do something that was going to cause your nation to be okay. But no, no, no. He says, this was the problem. Those that were supposed to love me, they don't love me. And I go and I think about all the different things that happen in our world today and in America today. I think one of the greatest problems, if not the greatest problem, is those that are supposed to love God, they don't act like it. What I think what we need is for Christians to live like Christians. I think we need people who are saved and they need to live like they have been saved from their sins instead of messing with their sins. We need somebody who's compassionate, who is tender, who is forgiving. If there's a Christian, they should have the conduct of a Christian. They should be truthful. They should be honest. They should be decent. They should be God-fearing. They simply should be a Christian. Instead, you know, in the day and time we live in, Christians have developed a carelessness. They don't care about being a Christian or living like a Christian. And that's the exact same thing that happened here. These were God's chosen people. God had given them promises. You go back and see that God promised them all these lands, and they are walking among the heathen. The people they were supposed to get rid of, the people they were not supposed to act like, has now come and has taken and has captured them. And they, you know what? As their nation is now known for wickedness. And that's the sad thing as many churches today is that, you know, they're not known for being a house of prayer. They're not known as a place that preaches the word of God. They're known for some worldly thing that they do. We need to be careful here. Why don't you take your Bibles, if you like to, in Acts chapter number 13. In Acts chapter number 13, Paul actually quotes, or at least doesn't quote, but gives, he speaks of this verse. And this is how I'm trying to apply this to the day and time we live in. See, Paul was declaring to the people what God was going to do and how God was going to bring past certain things. Paul is telling him he wants them to be careful. He says, because you are going to live so carelessly in your Christian lives that you will forget about what God can do. You will forget all about God. And that's what happened to the nation of Judah. And Paul reminds us to people that were believers back here in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter number 13, I want you to see what it says in verses 40 and 41. Acts chapter 13, verse 40, the Bible says, actually, let's go to verse 39. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And he says, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And so what he's saying here, he says, this is the same danger that could happen to you that happened the people that was in the day of Judah. And go back to Habakkuk, and you can see that there is a same carelessness that was caused back then. The carelessness of the people of Judah, they were surrounded by wickedness. They allowed wickedness in their lives. And because of that, God is bringing destruction. We go to Jeremiah. You know what Jeremiah is saying? If you repent, God will hold off the judgment. Doesn't matter how big Nebuchadnezzar gets. Doesn't matter how much of a world power Babylon was. I will take care of you if you will repent of your ways. And that's the hope for America, is the repentance of the sin that we are in. It begins in the church house where we stop being careless with our Christian lives and start living and acting like the Spirit of God lives in us and that we live like Christians. So we see here in verse number 5, behold ye among the heathen. And I don't think you get the good understanding of that until you realize he's speaking to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is living among the heathen. And if it was somebody in a distant land like Babylon, or if it was someone that was in a place like Nineveh, or some place that was known for cruelty, known for wickedness, we say, yes, he's living among heathen. But he went to the most spiritual spot that should have been in all the world. And he says, look, you're living amongst the heathen. That's, you know, how much does that apply to us today? You know, God, I think, could go to churches today and say, you're living among the heathen. Second thing I want you to see is not only the carelessness of Christians, but also the cruelty of the people who do not know God. the cruelty of the people who do not know God. For lo, in verse number 6, I raise up the Chaldeans that are bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. You know, most people have this idea that God is someday going to bring judgment on America. And it's going to be a sweeping judgment. You know what? That might happen. I believe God is already judging America in many ways. We see the things that are happening today. You know, that is not just something that is just coming along the way. It is something that has been on the works, and God has been working, and God has been trying to get people to come back to Him. God is merciful, and He is trying to, and that's what He's talking to here. And He went through, you know, God sent, and we can see the story for Judah. He sent what? All those prophets. He sent those good kings. He sent Isaiah. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Nahum. He sent Habakkuk. He sent Zephaniah, trying to tell them all to repent. And see, God, this is not something that happens just like this. This is something that God, over and over, God is working in. You see here, He is raising up this nation. I think about it when we have some of these storms that are around, and sometimes the trees fall over. If you go and look at the trees from after the storm that's fallen, if you look carefully, many times you'll notice that that tree has been decaying for years, slowly but surely rotting on the inside. And then a final blow comes, and the gust of wind blows it over. And that's, I think, is going to happen someday unless we get it right. If you're afraid that one of these days our nation is going to be judged, remember that we are also being judged right now. The judgment of God is sure. We reap what we sow, and we suffer because of months and years of neglect. There are specific judgments spoken of in God's word that are not being addressed in our context, but we are discussing the idea that God on a daily basis is neglected, and people laugh and mock at Him, and someday He will punish them. And how does He do this? You see how cruel it is. Look what they're going to do here. And you think of the story of Babylon comes three different times. One time they take away Daniel's group. Another time they come back and they take away some other ones. The third time, and at that third time, God was giving them a chance to not be destroyed still, after two times. You know what? They come and they destroy the whole city. They burn it down. They burn down the temple of God. They destroy the whole place, and they bash people's heads in with rocks, or they take them back as slaves. I mean, that was fierce. It shows you how cruel people can get, and sometimes I think we're surprised that people go as far as they go. Sometimes we can't believe that. And who would have thought 50 or 60 years ago it would be legalized that a man can marry a man? And that we never thought that would happen. Who would have thought that, you know, you could hear curse words and see nudity on live TV or on or even on cable TV or whatever it is over the years? You know, the cruelty of the people. And I just wanted to express to you, and I think this is what he's saying to Habakkuk here, is they're terrible people. They're dreadful. They don't know God. We're supposed to be different. Let's read once again through verses 7 to 11, just to give you a little commentary on how bad they are. God calls them and says, they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. They're talking about the pride they had. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and move fierce than the evening wolves. And those evening wolves are very fierce when they, you know, sometimes I've heard where hunters said that what you need to do is if you see a pack of wolves, you shoot one of the wolves and don't kill it, but they'll attack that weakened wolf to kill it. That's how fierce they are. The horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Habakkuk was speaking back in verses 2 and 3 about the violence of the people. Nothing compared to what they're going to be judged with. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather to captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the king. You know, the one who was running the nation at the time, the one who scoffed at God, they scoff at the kings. The princes that will be put in power shall be scorned unto them, and they will be taken out of power. They shall deride every stronghold, the things that we count most precious, they will pull it apart. They shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change. I believe he's referring to Nebuchadnezzar here. And he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. You know, the cruelest thing is that Babylon attributed their greatness to their gods. They said that their gods were greater than Judah's gods. You think about how much that dishonors our God. There was a British historian that wrote a quote that I thought was really interesting. His name was Thomas McCallie, a man who died just before the Civil War began. He wrote an interesting statement about America. He lived and died much more than a century ago. The historian said of America, "Your republic, America, will be fearfully plundered and laid waste by barbarians in the 20th century, as the Roman Empire was in the 5th. With the difference being that the Huns and the Vandals who ravaged the Roman Empire came from without, and your Huns and Vandals will have been endangered within your own country. By your own institutions, you will be destroyed." And I thought about that, and you know, truth is, we're being corrupted from inside. And why are people so cruel? Why is there such cruelty in the world? There is great cruelty in this world because God's people have turned their back on God. And they have let people destroy. Judah was falling because there was sin within her. The nation was imploding. Unbelief was at the heart of her judgment. The cruel Babylons were the only instrument of God's judgment. Only an instrument of God's judgment. As we think of the recent tragedies in America, I don't know what else we could say except for these are instruments of God's judgments also. I know preachers get picked on for saying things like that, but God is going to judge America if we do not turn back to Him. That's why we need revival. Third thing I want you to see is the compassion of the Lord. Compassion of the Lord. And I want you to go back to verse number 5 for this. Remember, we serve a God who is not willing that any should perish. There's no person that can rebel so far, no daughter that can disappoint so long, no dad who doesn't even act like a human being, or a wife or mom that goes complete. No one that God stops loving. There's compassion here. And I want you to see this little phrase that's here. It says in verse number 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously." He says, "For I will work a work in your days." Here's the thought is, we need to always remember that God is always working. Have you ever wondered if God knew your problems? Has there ever been a time in your life when you lay awake at night that you're so overcome by your troubles, and you ask like Habakkuk that says, "Lord, don't you see where I'm at? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you care what's happening to me?" But God sends us a message back through His Word. "I'm working. Don't ever forget that I'm still working. Don't ever forget that you might not see what's going on, but I'm still working." And that's what He's telling Habakkuk here. He says, "Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do." And he makes a phrase, "I will work a work in your days." He says, "I am working." And like I said, you know, there Babylon is this great first world empire, I believe. Remember, he was the king of the head of gold. And at least at some point, he was one of the greatest, if not the greatest. And he allowed this to happen. And we've seen world empire after world empire, all the different things happen. We saw all the answers to God in the Bible. We see, if you read the Bible, the sovereign hand of God over everything that's going, and we can see, we can appreciate it here with Judah being destroyed and knowing that Judah was going to come back, and we can see how God intertwined and worked it all out in Daniel, all those different things. But can we apply it to our own lives? Can we say, God is saying to us, "I'm working. You might not see it right now, but I am still working." Reminds me of that story back in Luke, I think it's chapter number 15, where it talked about the prodigal son. Went into the righteous living. And don't get me wrong, I think the story is a picture of the Heavenly Father allowing a Christian to go its way. And then, even though we don't understand why this happens, but you see God is still working, and how God allows him to hit the rock bottom, and then how God he comes back. I think that's what's happening with Judah here. Judah has hit rock bottom, and he wants him to come back, and he's waiting for him to come back with open arms. And I think of the story of the prodigal son, and you know, and it makes me wonder how much more God wants to see us to have revival than we ourselves do. And you come back to that spot, ye who are among the heathen, and that's we come to the spot. We are the problem here at our churches. We need Christians that will act like Christians. The father that saw his son could only imagine what was going on in the life of his son whom he loved. Of course, Christ is speaking of the love of our Heavenly Father in his story. The hard thing for me to understand is how that father could go to bed at night and how he could rest and not wonder where his boy was, and how he and his wife would not just continue on being worried about them and worried about him. But we got to remember, God is always still working. God has never stopped working. If you have a wayward child, God is still working. God is still trying to reach him. God is still trying to draw them to himself. And this is where our faith begins, is to believe that no matter what we see or understand, God's still working. And when we come to this spot, when we first get a burden for something, then our hearts are broken because we feel like God's not answering our prayers the way we want to, and we start saying, why, God? We come to a spot when God says, I'm doing something here. You might not like to know what's getting ready to happen, but all this that's getting ready to transpire is all inside my plan. There's a reason for it. There's a plan and a purpose behind it. Don't ever forget that we serve a compassionate God. Most of us place our confidence on the wrong things. We need to anchor our faith. We need to anchor our courage and the compassion to the fact that God has promised us so many great and wonderful promises, such as he'll work all things together. He'll accomplish a work that only God can accomplish in our lives and in those that we love. And we remember that God is still at work. And sometimes when we see bad things happen, we got to remember God's trying to do something. What is it God wants me to learn? What is it that I need to grow from? Because I know it's easy to ask the question, why? But when you ask that question and God reveals something to you, you're like, really, God? And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Habakkuk begins to answer back to God. He begins to give them an explanation. This is who I thought you were. I thought you were a loving, a compassionate God. How in the world could you send a wicked nation to destroy someone else? God's going to give them that answer. But remember what we said in chapter week number one. Here, he has a burden. Here, he doesn't understand why God isn't doing anything. Then we see that God is doing something, and he doesn't understand why God is doing that. But at the end of the book, there's a changed heart. In the end of the book, he's crying out for his nation, asking for mercy. Verses 2, 3, and 4, he's like, don't you see the wickedness? Don't you want to fix this? He's seeking mercy. At the end of the book, he's saying, no matter what happens, I'm still going to praise you. No matter what happens in this world, I'm going to learn how to praise you instead of question. And as we go through this book, I want us to see how this is we can compare it to what we're going through today. And if we saw what God was trying to do, we'd probably be like Habakkuk. Don't do that, Lord. You can't do that. Why are you doing that? We don't work the same way God does. He sees the beginning from the end. He works in lifetimes and generations. He works in hundreds of years instead of us that work on days. And he is doing a work that we will not even believe, even if someone told us. And that's the same thing. We live in a day and time where there's things going on that we still, sometimes I think I wake up and say, there's no way that can happen. I don't even believe that this happened. I don't believe that this could happen and that could happen. You know what? The Bible told us it was going to happen. Other men have warned that it was going to happen. It's coming true. So what do we do? I think we start acting like Christians. I don't think we be careless like Judah. I think we live like Christians should, act like Christians should, be biblical people, and live according to what God desires for us in our lives. and they let God do what He chooses with the rest of the world. We don't be lax. We don't drop the ball. Judah drops the ball, God punishes him. America has dropped the ball in so many ways when it comes to our churches and their Christian living. I believe that we're close. Who knows when? But God is the one in control. We don't need to try to figure it out. All we need to do is work on the things we need to fix and leave the rest up to God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with